All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
And Jennifer's in the hot seat again.
Stan's very happy about this. Now, if you missed it last week, we have been talking about our origin stories. This was a request that we had on our social media pages, just hear a little bit more about our journeys through dentistry. And for mine specifically, we talked a little bit about how I started last week. And this week, we're going to talk about my interest in group practice. And we're doing this for all you owner doctors out there for hopefully you'll be able to use from a recruiting standpoint. You know, hearing from a team member's perspective, what are they looking for? What can you highlight about your practices that might draw in the right kind of talent that you're looking for?
Well, let's get going. So we talked a lot about the kind of the beginning stages of your career and kind of, being thrown into the fire and, the fear of not wanting to or not having being having the option to leave the practice that you're
Yeah.
in, the practice you started at. The training that you got there or lack thereof, I should say. Things like that. So what was the next phase? Because I know you ended up did leaving that practice and really started almost a brand new career in some ways, right? And so, and why did that happen? Where did you go, and what drove you to make those decisions?
Went as far as humanly possible away while staying in the same country. I went to the other side of the country to go away, but no, I was starting to see the writing on the wall in dentistry. You know, I had been in a single doctor practice for 10 years at that point, and I was just starting to see the signs, you know, of, hey, dentistry was really moving in a group direction, and it wasn't moving in a group direction and the area that I was working in. And that scared me for just my own self. You know, I was really concerned about being able to continue to support myself working for a single doctor. I was in a very similar situation that a lot of people are, you know, very small office, you know, two assistants in the back, one person in front. And if that doctor was on vacation, the office was closed. And that doctor was on vacation 10 or 12 weeks out of the year. And I had 2 weeks of paid vacation time. So I was constantly stressed out about how I was going to maintain my income and be able to support myself, you know, and I was never, ever able to take vacation outside of when that doctor was out of office. Number one, that wasn't an option. You planned your vacation when he was out of office, period. You didn't, it was not approved for you to be outside of that. And I couldn't afford to be outside of that anyway because of how much time the office was already closed. So that was super stressful for me. I was also just seeing again the signs of how much was being referred out because a single doctor couldn't do it all. And you know, there's only so much that any one doctor could do trying to find emergency coverage. I remember calling around to all of the offices in the area every time that he was going to be out on vacation. And again, these other offices are going, are you serious? Like we just covered for you. He's going to be gone again. And I'm like, yes, I'm aware, but you know, I mean, just those little things. And it was very stressful being part of a small team. You know, if one person called out, all of a sudden a third of your team was gone. And that person that was left was the one that was constantly picking up the slack. And so it became very exhausting. It became very taxing. And I wanted to see what was out there. I wanted to see more of what was out there. And I knew that I had to go out of the area to be able to do that. Like I said, I mean, it was told to me multiple times, you're not going to find a job anywhere around here because we know every doctor in town. They're going to be calling us, and you're not going to be able to find a job anywhere in this area. So I went to the East Coast and I purposely wanted to find a group practice who was doing this, who had successfully been able to find doctors who were collaborating with each other, team members that were collaborating with each other, who had some of these resources that I was really lacking and looking for. So I went to go find it
Where did you find it?
in Boston. I found it in Boston. A group practice, and they took a chance on me. You know, I had not worked in group practice before, and it was a little bit of a return to feet to the fire situation. I went and flew out there for a working interview, and they put me in the front office, and I said, "Here you go. Let me know how that works." And that was my working interview. That office had 14 ops. They were running five hygiene columns on the day that I was there, and they were running seven providers, and I was in the hot seat at the front desk to see. How did I do with that? And I'm not saying that to, you know, pat myself on the back. I left that weekend with an offer in hand. And again, I'm not saying that, oh, I was just amazing at it, but those situations again happen more often than you think. And it was a little bit of, do you want this? You're going to work for it. And I wanted it. So I worked for it because I saw that there was this was the direction the dentistry was going in, and I learned a ton. And they also took a huge chance on me. It's like, who is this, girl coming out from California and, thinks that she's gonna rule the world here? But I was very open about, like, hey, this is what I'm looking for. And hey, one of the doctors happened to go to the same university that I went to, so it didn't hurt to have a gaucho in the mix. But it was, this is what I was looking for. And it was a very open relationship the time I was there, as far as what we were looking for, what the goals were for the practice, and being able to see it from that light of actually having someone that wanted my input. Hey, these are the things that are working. This is the feedback that we're receiving from patients. There's always going to be an issue with somebody. I mean, you get an office that large, there's personality issues, there's constantly something that's coming up, but they were very open to that feedback. And it was a breath of fresh air to feel like I was involved in the business. That was not something that I had been able to really participate in before.
That's really great. And so what parts and how do they bring that to you? Because I mean, obviously you coming out brand new, they hadn't been working with you very long, right? And I, you know, I know it was kind of a, you know, one founder doctor and then a number of doctors in two or three locations, I think at least two, right? Yeah. So you know, how do they start that? How did they start the conversations about, you know, bringing you into the fold a little bit, asking for your advice, getting some creative feedback from you on some of the business aspects? How did they start that?
It was not an easy start with the team, I will tell you that. I was absolutely the hostile innovator that came from the West Coast. There's no doubt about that. I started to show results to those doctors very early on. I was not. The hygiene team was not a fan of mine, because if they had an opening on their schedule, you better be damn sure I was filling that opening, right? So I had proof in the pudding of where we could improve efficiencies and scheduling, and people were not going back without paying their balances, and just some of those little tweaks that sometimes having that fresh set of eyes, yeah, you are the hostile invader, but it's because you're going to bring to light some of the issues that were coming up. And I mean, even a billing statements, for example, and they had a very healthy AR, they were a very successful practice, but they were sending out 500, 600 billing statements a month. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. Like, there's just absolutely no way that that's continuing. So I think by starting to show some of those glints of like, hey, this can actually improve things, this can help. And then in turn, the team members started to see like, hey, this can actually improve things for us too. I'm not just coming in here trying to have a whole tornado behind me. And I think also showing like, hey, I wasn't asking anybody to do anything that I wasn't doing myself. I'm like, hey, I'm going to call for those balances. I'm going to help break down that room so we can do same day. I'm going to help fill the schedule. Yes, I'm going to be here on time. And doing it alongside them, I think, went a long way. And then, yeah, it all boils down to the numbers. If you're showing an improvement in AR, if you're showing an improvement in production, that's really hard to argue with from an owner's standpoint. Whether you like the tactics or not, the proof is in the pudding.
That's great. That's great. So I mean, coming in, I know from the first position you started at, there was, you know, it was kind of trial by fire. You're just, you know, sink or swim type onboarding. What was the difference between this practice that you now went to in Boston between your first, and I know your role was very different in the new practice that you're in, obviously very different practices. Presumably the practice that you went to in Boston had a lot more infrastructure set up, you know, kind of operated like a mature business a little bit more, not a mom and pop shop, things like that. But how did that show in kind of the resources you had and some of the mentorship or just, you know, anything like that that kind of folded time for you to really become impactful in that practice?
Resources honestly were still lacking quite a bit, and that was something that I really saw was an area that we can improve upon. And they were very fortunate in that they did have a lot of those, we talk about the air quotes, loyal employees that had been with them, for a long time, and so could really, help from an operations standpoint. But that was part of the draw of bringing me in, because a lot of those, again, in air quotes, loyal employees were going to be transitioning out for retirement or whatever it was in the next 5 or 6 years. And that was something that had been discussed with me in the interview process, and that they were also, those team members were very open about too. This wasn't something that was, they were just waiting for someone to quit. So that again was, bringing someone into the fold from the beginning and being a part of something that was bigger. That had been presented to me from day one. And I think they really, there was so much that I learned in that practice. I'm so grateful for my time there, because they really took that aspect with all of their team members that, hey, you are some part of something bigger. There is a career here for you if you want it. Expectations were high. I'm not saying that it was rainbows and butterflies all the time. I mean, there were plenty of times that, there's a little bit of a different East Coast mentality. No offense to you East Coasters out there, but, they throw it out sometimes. And you were expected to rise. And we worked very hard when we were there. And they also felt very strongly about you having your time outside of the practice. And that was the way that we all ran together. It's not to say that there weren't things that happened, but putting everyone on board with the same mission and the same goals is the only way that a practice like that, with that many providers and that many team members, that you're all working with each other all day, every day, running an on-time ship with that many ops going, it's the only way that you can be successful. And so I wanted to take that experience and be able to translate that into group practice. All of Sten, where Sten enters in the picture, and be able to model a lot of those things that I learned in that practice.
Great.
We're going to talk in part three about how then I was able to translate a lot of what I learned into group practice and how we operate group practice now, and the team mentorship aspect of things that we also use for recruiting purposes. Mentorship is not just for doctor recruiting, it's also for your team recruiting. So come back next week for part three if you would like to connect with us in the meantime to learn about our team training programs and, like I said, how we've been able to implement these in our practices. Please feel free to reach out. We're on all of the social media platforms. Our email is connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com, and our website is pathwaydentalsolutions.com. So we look forward to hearing from you, and we will be back next week.
See you next time.
Bye.